Today's message is the mystery of opened and closed doors. It's a mystery. Opened and closed doors means that there are opportunities for advancement. There are opportunities where you back up and you have more influence in people's life than you've ever had. And sometimes it's one person's life that is just pulling your heartstrings, and you know, I'm supposed to invest into this person. Sometimes it's a job where all of a sudden you get this job opportunity. That door just flies open. It's like, oh my goodness, the door just flies open. Or you get a raise. These are doors that fly open, and the Bible says this: God is the one who opens those doors. Some of you have had doors open, and you're so excited. You're like, oh my goodness, I can't believe this happened. I want you to know God opened that door for you. He also closes doors. Let's read this together. Let's read it real loud. All right. 1, 2, 3. Write this letter. Oh, let me introduce it. Sorry. This is God talking to John. And he says, I want you to write this letter to the church of Philadelphia. Kind of like write this letter to the church of the Woodlands. Write this letter. So this letter applies to every single church that's ever existed and exists today. So here we go, real loud. Write this letter. Now, this isn't part of my message, but I got to say this. That last line is probably one of my favorite lines in the entire Bible. Because he says this, I know you have little strength. I know you're weak. It's like you are beating yourself up because you mess up. But I just want you to know, I already know you're weak. And he backs up and he says this, but you haven't not denied me. You continue to believe in me. You continue to believe in my promises. I know you're weak, but you keep on believing in me. And because of that, I have opened up a door for you. Isn't that awesome? Sometimes I back up and I go, God, I'm sorry, I did it again. Oh, God, I said it again. Oh, God, really. And the Lord's just like, chill out. Stop beating yourself up. I'm not beating you up. I already know you are weak. But, Frankie, just because you keep on thinking about me and you still believe in me, I've opened up a door for you. God opens up doors. For example, God opens up doors having to do with work. He opens up doors. There's a sense of not just work, but a sense of accomplishment that all of us need. If you've ever studied Maslow's law of human needs, you will see on that list that every single person needs to feel this sense of accomplishment. You have to feel it. Otherwise, you just feel like a shell. If you're just feeling like you're going through life and you're not making any difference in this world, there's a part of you that just feels like it's dying. If you feel like you are underachieving, there is a side of you that just feels like it's dying. But I want you to know, God opens up doors to where you begin to feel this sense of accomplishment. It's a divine thing. My wife and I started the church 20 years ago. More than half of the time, I feel this, I don't know, I don't really feel fulfilled. I just don't feel fulfilled. And one day I was praying and something just dropped in my spirit and I wish I could describe it. I wish I could put it into words. But all of a sudden I felt, man, I am pleasing you. And all of a sudden this fulfillment began to rise up. This is an open door. Sometimes he gives you a new opportunity and all of a sudden you feel the fulfillment. All of a sudden as a parent, you back up and you go, you know what? After I'm dead, my kids will still be here. This is a sense of accomplishment. If your children has passed away before you, they are in heaven dancing around. They would never, ever want to come back. This is a sense of fulfillment and accomplishment that God has opened up that door for you. This is what God does. He brings people into your life that celebrate you. Have you ever lived a chapter where you know somebody is tolerating you, but they're not celebrating you? They have no idea that you're awesome. They have no clue. And the reason why they don't know you're awesome is because they're not, and so they can't recognize awesome when they see awesome. Are you with me? Say yes if you're with me. When God opens up a door, he takes those people and shoos them out and brings in people that celebrate you. God opens those doors. By faith, let's clap for the people that God's getting rid of, even though he hasn't yet. Just bye, Felicia. Bye, Felicia. Get out of here. If your name is Felicia, just. God will open a door for you to get married. Now, Mary, when I was thinking about this, this is so funny because when you're dating and then you get married, your whole life, everything, you think that your dating life is just going to continue the same way after you get married. You're just like, man, if dating is awesome, marriage is going to be crazy awesome. And it is crazy awesome. It's just a different crazy awesome. Like when you're dating and you're on the phone and it's like 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, you're like, you hang up first. No, you hang up first. No, you hang up. Okay, since we're not married yet and we're living in different houses, let's just fall asleep together. Let's go to sleep. When you get married, it's like, hey, what's up? Yeah, yep, got it. All right, love you, bye. But when you're dating and you're watching a movie together and one drops their, you know, head on your shoulder about 15 minutes into the movie and they fall asleep and they're kind of snoring and you kind of like, he's so cute. And you go and tell a friend, oh my goodness, he fell asleep on my shoulder and he's got this cute little snore. Go ahead and get married. It's like, hey, baby, you want to watch a movie? No, I don't want to watch a movie. 10 minutes after we start it, you fall asleep. And then you wake up in the morning, you got these bruises on your arm because every time you start snoring, it's like, bam, bam. It's not cute anymore, is it? When you're dating and you look at him and go, hey, you good, babe? Yeah, I'm fine. You get married? And you hear that word fine? You're in trouble. Hey, baby, we good? I'm fine. Those are the doors you want God to close. God, close it. I don't want to go in there. I don't want to go in there. It's too late, isn't it? God opens and he closes doors. I want to talk about closed doors just for a second. When God closes a door, he is not punishing you. He is redirecting you. When something doesn't open up, a relationship doesn't open up, a job doesn't open up, you miss out on the raise. When these things don't open up, you're trying to get a house and the mortgage falls through. You're trying to rent a home and they won't rent it to you. When you're trying to do and the door closes, don't back up and say, well, I did something wrong and now God's punishing me. God, you know, I just prayed for the house and I haven't prayed for a long time. He's not. No, no, no. When God closes a door, he's not punishing you. He's redirecting you. He's saying, hey, look, that I've got something better. And this route right here is not going to make you stronger for what I got for you. The season that you're in right now is preparing you for the next season. Okay? It's preparing you. And if you get yourself in a relationship, you get yourself in this house, you end up getting this job, it's all of a sudden you are going in a different direction than what God has for you. You're not getting stronger, you're getting distracted. So he will close a door. Now, hear me say this. Closed doors are confusing before they are a blessing. Now, I would spend some time talking about this point, but I have a 17-year-old son that I think could communicate it a little bit better. Would you put your hands together for my son, Luke? Come on up here.
All right, how are y'all doing this morning? Oh boy. So, me and my dad just had a little thought that we thought would fit real well in this, so I just share it with you guys. So, when I was 7 years old, I picked up a basketball for the first time, and from that point on, I decided I wanted to be an NBA basketball player. And so, that's what I went for. And as I got older, I realized that the first step to that goal is to be a varsity basketball player for whatever high school I'm at. So going into my freshman year, my eighth grade summer, it was a real big opportunity because I went to a small private school and I had the opportunity to play varsity if I worked for it. So that summer, I would practice a lot. Me and my dad were outside in the heat. We were balling out. Probably didn't practice as much as he would have liked, but I was going. And first week rolled around, I tried out, and sure enough, I made the varsity team. And that was a huge deal for me because this is the big goal of my life. Since I was seven, I made the varsity team. And I was living life. About halfway through that season, though, I was playing in an outside-of-school basketball game, and it was getting a little chippy. So I drove in the lane to try and make a layup, and I got elbowed right in the mouth. My tooth got pushed, like, all the way back, and I got a dentist to throw some braces on me, fix my tooth, but I lost 6 weeks out of that season. And when I came back, I had to play with a mouth guard. It was terrible. So that whole freshman season was kind of blown. Which really sucks, but I still have my sophomore, junior, and senior year left, so it's all right. So my sophomore year, me and my family made a big decision to move to a 6A public high school, which is a big deal because that's a lot more competition and stuff. So going there, I just wanted to play basketball, whatever that looked like. So that summer, I practiced hard. I showed up on the first day, made the junior varsity team, very excited about it, and I was living life with my two new teammates, my new coach. I was doing real well. But about a quarter way through that season, I was in a practice, and I went up for a rebound, and one of my teammates came down with his elbow on my nose. It started bleeding everywhere, and I went to the doctor and found out I had completely shattered my nose, which really sucked because I had to get full surgery for that, and I was out for 8 weeks in that season. I lost basically all of it. And when I came back, I had a few games left, had to wear a mask. It was terrible. So those first 2 years of high school were kind of blown for injuries, but it's all right because I still have my junior and senior year left, and that's when colleges start looking at you anyway, so that's the only important thing. So I'm going into my junior year, and, I mean, this is my varsity push. This is the time to get big, get strong. Let's make varsity this year. So me and my dad are grinding all summer, and, I mean, during the summer, I'm playing the varsity team. I got the varsity jersey on in practices. I got the varsity jersey on when I'm playing in the games, and it's looking really good for this upcoming season. With the last game of the summer, I was playing really well. This is 2 weeks before the roster came out, 1 week before school started, I was playing really good. And I was running down the court, and someone stepped in front of me, so I opened up to get around him, and I heard my knee pop. And I kind of hit the ground. 2 days later, I go get an MRI, and I found out that I tore my ACL. Really sucks, because an ACL tear is a 9 to 12 month recovery, and that's a really long time. So that whole junior season that I was looking forward to playing with my teammates, I had to spend on the bench, watching the teammates I wanted to be around live out my dream that I had since I was 7, you know? All I could do was just sit there and clap for them. That was a real low point in my life, but, you know, that's all right, because I still have my senior year left, right? And that's the one everyone talks about when they graduate. So going into my senior year, I was being really cautious. I didn't want to get hurt. I didn't want anything to happen. So I'm doing physical therapy twice a week. I'm working out my legs. And, you know, about 8 months, I went to my surgeon and both physical therapists, and they both cleared me. All three of them cleared me to play, which is a huge deal, 8.5 months in. And that's thanks to a lot of y'all's prayers. So I appreciate that. And going into it, I was very excited. My school actually even got a new coach, and me and him started clicking. My teammates and me started clicking, and things were looking really good. In fact, he asked my teammates who they thought he should make the captain of the team this year. And I think because of the relationships I built with them my junior year, they all unanimously chose me to be the captain this year, which is a huge deal for me because this is more than I ever expected, right? Last practice of the season, or last practice of the school year, we're in off season, gearing up for the next year after this summer. 20 minutes are left in the practice, and I make a cut on the baseline, catch the ball, I jump up to make the layup, and I hear that pop again. Yeah, so a few days later, I go get the MRI, and sure enough, I tore my ACL for the second time. That is really low, and I mean, I'm still pretty sad about it right now, but you can imagine how upset I was then. So I go to my surgeon and I'm like, look, man, what happened? Did I do something wrong? Did you do something wrong? Like, what's the deal here? And he goes, you know, looking at your scans, I did my surgery right. You did everything you could do. But the one thing I can see is you have naturally hyperextended knees, which inherently puts a stress on your ACL anytime you're running or doing anything. So you're at much more of a risk than everybody else to tear your ACL. And this news was devastating to me. I mean, I went home and I'll be honest, I just laid in my bed and just started crying. Struggling with the realization that, you know, I'm never going to put on a basketball jersey again. That is really hard for me. So, you know, I'm just crying there, crying out to God, like, why now? Why is this going on right now? And I'm just thinking, you know, like, I did everything right. Like, what's the deal? And he spoke to me in that moment, and I heard him right down in here. He said, you are not the author of your plan. I am. And I felt that, and in a moment of clarity, I realized that in that moment, in this moment of frustration, in this season of struggle, all I have left is to depend on him and have faith in him and have hope and trust that he might open another door for me. And so that faith was kind of rewarded about 2 days later. I was out to eat with some friends, and one of them randomly looked up at me and said, you know, Luke, how's your day going? And obviously, it's going terrible. So I look back at him, and I'm not going to get into that because I'm out to eat with like 10 of my friends. I'm not going to start having a pity party. So, you know, I was like, you know, I'm doing great. I'm having a great day today. And because I was surrounded by good friends, they all looked up at me and said, no, you're not. You're not having a good day. Tell us about it. And in that moment, I kind of just broke. I didn't start crying, but that guard dropped, and I started telling him about what I'm struggling with, this confusion that I'm having, this struggle that I'm dealing with about not being able to play the game that I love anymore. And but most importantly, I told him about what I have left. I told him about who I'm depending on right now, who I'm trusting in right now and hoping for that he has another open door for me. And a few days later, I realized that that moment right there was vital. I mean, that moment of telling my friends who I depend on and who I lean on in this point of struggle, if that had any sort of spiritual draw on them, if that brought them any closer to God than they were before, then it was worth more than anything I could have done on the basketball court. So that was a really special moment for me. So I just kind of prayed there when I realized that. And I said, thank you, Jesus, for giving me that opportunity. And thank you for giving me the words to say to my friends in that moment. And right there, I just felt that voice again. And he kind of said to me, I'm just getting started. I'm just getting started. So... Thank you. So with that, I thought I'd leave you guys with this one verse that has encouraged me through kind of all of this, and it's Isaiah 55:8-9. And it says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." So when you got your whole life drawn out on the whiteboard and you're ready to go, you might find yourself with the torn ACL or the broken tooth or whatever it may be. But just remember, God has a lot more planned for you. And chances are, he's just getting started. Appreciate you.
Now, how am I going to get through the rest of this? You know that he's going to speak a lot in his life, but just know this, you guys were the ones that saw him speak for the very first time ever. We talked about, my first point was on closed doors, and he talked about a closed door and how it started opening up open doors. I want to talk a little bit about open doors. not going to talk long. In fact, whoever's playing the keys can come on up and play. When God opens up a door for you, it is not only to bless you. It is not only to give you another opportunity. It's not only to give you more influence, maybe in one or two people's life. That's not the only reason why he opens up doors for you. It's a great blessing, and it's very exciting. But the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9, it says that the Lord desires to partner with you. To partner. Meaning, these new opportunities is because the Lord is saying, we're going to do something else together. We are going to do something else together with different faces. I heard this story years ago, probably 20 years ago. It was this, and I don't even know his name, it was this little boy, and the mother was putting him to sleep. And the little boy kept on asking her to come back into his room. Mom, come back. Mom, mom, mom. Over and over again. Which was unusual. Usually she puts him in the bed, gives him a kiss, he falls asleep. Mom, can you come back? Mom, can you come back? And so around the fourth or fifth time, she stuck her head in and she said, "Baby, don't worry about anything. Jesus is with you." And he said back to his mom, "I know, but I need Jesus with skin on tonight." And she goes over to his bed and lays down with him, and he just kind of grabs her. And she was that Jesus with skin on. When God opens up doors, it's because he's already closed one door to reposition you and redirect you to somebody who needs Jesus with skin on. They need to look into your eyes and see that you believe in them. my daughter, Kate, there she is. I told her a while back, I said, everybody loves people who love them. Everybody likes people who like them. And so go like everyone. Don't pick people to like. Go like them all. And all of them are going to like you back. And she's 11. Now that she's older, I can say, this means go be Jesus with skin on. Because God has opened up doors for you to partner with Him. Because most people don't have a lot of people that believe in Him. Let's all stand to our feet. I'd like for all of our prayer partners to come down, if you would. There's a term that I want to share that fits perfectly with this message. Because we're talking about open doors and we're talking about closed doors, but I easily could spend 20 minutes talking about life in the hallway. Right? That you can't go back to another opportunity and you're not quite sure what the next opportunity looks like. That door's closed. This one hasn't opened yet. You're in the hallway. And if you've ever been there, you know what I'm talking about. And some of you are there right now. And you need someone to pray for you. In a minute, if that's you, I want you to come out of your seat and let someone pray for you. But let me also say this. If you know, you know in your heart that if your heart were to stop beating in the next 5 minutes, you're not ready to see God. Somebody your age died this week. Somewhere in the world, someone your age died this week. You don't know when you're going to have the last 5 minutes. And so I'm challenging you today to come down here, take a prayer partner, and just say, I need to give my life to God. So if you need to give your life to God, or you just flat out need someone to pray for you, I'd love for you to come out of your seat right now. There's no official dismissal. You can leave whenever you get ready. But let's sing this one song through before anyone goes. May the Lord bless you. May He keep you. May His face shine down upon you and be gracious to you. May His countenance be lifted up and bring you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.